We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up? Happy Friday. Welcome in to the CHGO Bears Podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get $2,000. Welcome into the show today, guys. Adam Hoge, Nicholas Moriano, Will DeWitt with you. The Friday crew back together in full this week. What's up, guys?
I'm doing well. Full into our summer break here. I know yours begins after today. But yeah, just definitely enjoying this transition from school year to summer life with the kids. It's been great.
I'm going to give you guys a platform. This is your last show, and then you guys are out of here next week, right?
This feels like the last day at school. I was kind of like, that's the theme for today. Last day at school. It's my son's last day. Will and I are both going on vacation next week. So, you know, it's kind of... I don't want to say, don't worry, we put the prep in, we got a show for you today, but it is kind of like that last day of school vibes where you're like, yeah, we just gotta show up and have some fun here for a little bit, and then we get to go home. I already got some meat on the grill, guys. I'm not even kidding.
What you grilling over there?
Oh, we're smoking ribs over the next 5 hours, and I got them going right before we came down into the cave to get the show going.
It was after OTAs, Adam, Patrick Finley was in the parking lot. He was going back into Hellas Hall. He's like, Nick, what should I put on the grill? I'm like, smoke some ribs, do some ribs. He's like, do I have enough time? And he never got back to me what he cooked that day. So I have to reach out to him. But ribs is a good choice for sure.
One of my favorite things to grill, without question. Are you a dry rub guy there, Adam, first?
Oh, yeah.
And then you smoke? Yeah.
Yeah, we got the rub. We got the rub on there. We got the, I'm doing it in that retro Weber kettle we talked about a couple weeks ago. And then so we got kind of a mixture of the charcoal and then the wood chunks.
Yep.
To get the smoke.
Hickory,
going.
Mesquite. What do you got?
We want apple.
All right.
Little apple flavor for those ribs today, and it was like a cherry rub, so it's gonna be good.
That sounds great. I'll be over there in about 5 hours. Let me
I was about to say the same thing.
Hey, that's the timeline. They'll be ready in 5 hours, so
see, perfect.
You're gonna have to figure out how to do the next hour in the car here on the show, but come on, you know you're a technology guy. There he goes. He gone. And no, Will has just, left us.
There we go. Oh, there he
See, I told you he was good with technology because I would not have known how to do what he did.
Will, did you do that for the memes there? What just happened?
That's it. That was I had to commit to the bit.
Okay, you're lucky I was sitting here because otherwise I would have just been walking around closing doors.
I found out I got locked out after. I thought I could just inject myself. Nope.
No.
Yeah. Lawrence just had a heart attack, probably.
Yeah, I'll be over in less than 5 hours, so we're gonna have to drink some bourbon or something before.
Oh yeah. Bourbon will be discussed here on the show, too, by the time we're out.
I'll leave.
Absolutely. All right, there's our producer, Lawrence, who's with us today as well. All right, we're doing some football to talk about. Welcome into the show. Appreciate everyone being here on this Friday. I hope everybody's ready for a big Memorial Day weekend. I know I am. And for Will and I, we get to just carry it into a full week. I love it. So sorry, Nick. But actually, I should say Nick's got an awesome week planned next week with you guys, with some guests coming in, some guest co-hosts. So you're definitely going to want to tune in all next week because they're going to have a lot of fun. And I'll certainly be watching along the way, too. Maybe I'll surprise you guys, too, at some point. Just jump in like the way Will just did, in and out.
There we go.
There you go. I'm not making those promises. I will respect my personal time on my vacation, and I'm going to be hours and hours behind y'all over in Hawaii because Lawrence.
Oh, you know,
yeah.
Yep.
Lawrence got there before me, but I'm going to go there and I'm staying a little bit longer.
Which island?
I'm going to Maui. So literally just following Lawrence here. I made the decision before him, though.
Did you, though?
I don't know. Independent of you, at least.
I don't even care if you made it after. If I could, I would just book a trip right now and go next week, too. I would copycat Lawrence.
Oh, my God.
It's Hawaii. Who cares?
We'll have to talk after the show.
I've only crossed the Mississippi one time, like in air, on the ground. So this is exciting times for the DeWitt household.
That's exciting. It's amazing. You're going to have the best time, and you're lucky that you're staying longer than I was.
I have so many dinner reservations lined up that I'm so excited to try some food.
Is Mama's Fish House one of them? And then I'll leave.
No, it's like you said, they're reserved too far out. But, you know, as long as I survive the helicopter tour without doors on it on the last day, you all see me in a couple weeks.
Is Jimmy Graham flying you?
That'd be awesome if he was. Like, oh, Jimmy. As long as he's as secure as he is in a red zone, I feel like I'm in good hands.
Yes. That's true. Very secure.
I love that you're going doors off. Because the helicopter tour is like the coolest thing I've ever done, but I could not convince my wife to go doors off. And
I just booked it and told her it was the only option.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's a veteran move right there. Damn it. Why didn't I think of that?
But the views are insane with the doors off compared to like the little window. Yeah. And if they get shoved in the middle, you're not seeing much. And if I'm going in the air to look at the island, I want to make sure I do it right.
That's pretty good. Wow.
It's going to be amazing. Somehow
you made me jealous, even though I'm taking a week off myself. That's very well done. All right, guys, let's jump in. This was not how I expected to start the Bears talk today, but TJ is asking if we have a Trenton Gill update. Did I miss something?
Just an update on
how he's doing.
Yeah, I guess so. There's nothing to update, to be completely honest. So sorry for the lack of Trenton Gill updates right now.
They're not punting during open media time?
They honestly are, like, and I guess there's an expectation that I should be, like, charting each and every punt, but right now he's the only punter on the roster, so it's his job.
Yeah. I'm not seeing anything. I'm like, looking at Twitter. Did something happen with Trenton Gill? No. So, no Trenton Gill update. Sorry about that, you guys.
That's awesome. All right, guys, where we are going to start the show today, though, is a player you may have heard of. His name is Justin Fields. Chris Sims does a good job for NBC, and here's why I like going back to Chris Sims all the time on Justin Fields, because he was against Justin Fields coming out. Like, he had him ranked low. Like, I mean, he still liked him, but he didn't like him. I don't even think he had a first round grade on him, if I'm remembering right. He had him like fifth on the list. I don't want to make things up now at this point, but that's well documented. He would tell you that. And so now he had already by the end of last season come around and admitted, I kind of missed here. He's good. He's going to be good. And that's despite, you know, the struggles we saw offensively and we've talked about endlessly on the show. So we thought we'd start with this today because Chris Sims has been counting down his top 40 quarterbacks going into this season on his podcast, Chris Sims Unbuttoned, and here's a look at where he's been at so far with his top 40, and he just got to Justin Fields at number 23. Now, I think just first blush where he's at, what he did last year, like 23 seems reasonable. I think we all think he can move higher than that, but we've seen some other rankings where, you know, certainly, if you look at DVOA and things like that we've talked about, he was 32nd out of all the starting quarterbacks last year. So there's a respect level a little bit here at 23. And then when you add in the fact that last year, Chris Sims had him at 39, that's a 16, that's jumping up 16 mm-hmm. spots despite really not putting up big numbers last year. So in that type of context, this is actually Chris Sims giving Justin Fields a lot of credit and coming around on the guy. Guys, your initial reaction to where he sits on this list and that type of improvement that a quarterback voice that I respect in Chris Sims had on this on Justin Fields after what we saw last season.
Yeah, I think it speaks volumes. As you said, Adam, for him to kind of come around here a bit, to me, if he's winning over Chris Sims, that's a great sign for things to come. When I saw that list, what excited me as a Bears fan would see him over a Trevor Lawrence. I think that's exciting. You know, the former first overall pick last year in the same draft class. I know he's right behind Zach Wilson, but I also saw Fields above Trey Lance by a decent bit, which I know hasn't seen the field. Davis Mills was another obvious, but seeing him over like a Marcus Mariota, Mitchell Trubisky, it's exciting, I would say the least. And again, to have that jump despite the performance on the field last year, which we knew wasn't great, but a lot of external circumstances probably keeping him pinned down a little bit more than we would like. And then honestly, I like the number 23 in Chicago, guys. I think it's a special number, and the fact that he's there, again, I believe numbers have a lot of power, and I like where he's at.
Yeah, and just, again, credit to Chris Sims for, in the middle of last season, actually admitting, like, hey, Justin Fields was too low. I have the quote here. He said on his podcast, Chris Sims Unbuttoned, "I'm already feeling as far as all the quarterbacks in my rankings that I'm the most wrong about him being Fields. I know I made him 5 to 6 to begin with, and that's the one I'm looking at the most." And so we recognize that, and I think this also reflects that, I think collectively, nationally, a lot of people are down on the Bears and their offense. I wonder, it seems like, but just Justin Fields in general, there's more higher regard for what he can do than what maybe the offense collectively can do. If you guys get what I'm saying here, just with his traits and potentially what he can become as a quarterback. Now at 23, I look at the two guys ahead of him, you know, Zach Wilson. And, you know, Adam and I, we've talked about this before. Like, Zach Wilson, I had him higher ranked just based off of last season. And there's obviously year two. We'll see what these guys can do. But Daniel Jones is the interesting one for me. It is actually his birthday today. So happy birthday to Daniel Jones. We're talking about him today. But
he told me he's watching today too. So I'm sure.
Okay, good. So I have a question. Like, I wonder how much better, obviously only two spots in Chris Sims' rankings, but We still need to see a lot from Daniel Jones, in my opinion, just for, I think the Giants do collectively to see, like, are you confident in him being the franchise quarterback moving forward? Because I think up until now, there's just a lot of questions of what he can become. They haven't done a very good job, like the Bears surrounding him with talent, the offensive line and things like that. But where he's ranked 23 and the guys below him, it's a lot of quarterbacks that have moved on from former teams that were former first-round draft picks that are now getting, like, another opportunity somewhere else. So seeing where Justin Fields is ranked, I think, is good enough for now. And then just look at the other guys that are not on his list yet. We compare some of those guys. It's like, okay, I can see why he's 23.
I just want to reiterate just real quick. Like, he's one of the younger players on this list, and he's 23rd. And some of the people below him were drafted very high in their draft classes. Mentioned Lawrence was first overall. Winston, same thing, first overall. Trubisky was second. Marcus Mariota was second. Tua was fifth. And Jared Goff was the first overall pick. Mm-hmm. And he's only in his second season. So for him to be above players of, I would say, that caliber, again, like, even though he's going into a new scheme, going into a new system, and last year the results weren't great, the fact that Sims sees enough here to put Fields over a lot of these players that have a lot more experience, were drafted higher in their respected years, that should excite people to see, because it does to me.
Let's, Lawrence, can we see the list again? Can you pop it up just so we can kind of take a look? Because I know everyone's, this is what we do with lists and everybody debates them. To me, the only one that jumps out that I definitely disagree with is just Daniel Jones being 21st. Regardless if he's ahead of Justin Fields or not, I just don't think he's that good of a quarterback, and I would have him lower in the 20s. for sure. But like, I'd have Tua still. I would have Tua over Daniel Jones. I would have Jalen Hurts over Daniel Jones. When we get into the Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, like, I'm willing to put them in any order at this point. I'm not going to – I still like Zach Wilson. I think if you paid attention to the Jets late in the season, I don't know why anyone would have done that. But you saw Zach Wilson get better. That's the same thing, though, for people outside Chicago on Justin Fields. True. Why were you watching Chicago Bears football late in the season? You shouldn't have been. But for those that did, and so those of you that saw the glimpses, and this was something Chris Sims talked about in his breakdown of Justin Fields, was every single game you saw at least one wow throw.
Wow.
Like one of those throws that's like, yeah, that's a special NFL play. And when he talked about Trevor Lawrence, why he had Fields ahead of Lawrence, what was very interesting to me, and this was something that did stand out to me last year too, is he liked Fields in the pocket better than Trevor Lawrence. When Lawrence was in the pocket, he wasn't as accurate as Fields was. So for all the things we complain about last season, and there's some valid points about how, you know, he needs to clean up his feet and he needs to speed things up a touch. I agree that there were times last year, despite everything breaking down around him and him not really having a number one wide receiver, he was still looked pretty damn good just as a pocket passer. And we know all the special things he can do outside the pocket. So I found it very interesting that he put Fields ahead of Lawrence. I don't necessarily have a problem that Zach Wilson's ahead of him, because I still think like the jury's still out on all of those guys. Mm-hmm. But I just think that this is sort of the point I've been making now for months. When you see he has Trey Lance 31st, well, I'm sure a part of that is he just hasn't seen anything from Trey Lance. But he has seen Justin Fields. So what I'm getting at is the people that know quarterback play, the people that are not just going to sit here and look at his stat lines or look at his DVOA on Football Outsiders, the people that actually studied Justin Fields in the shitty environment he was in last season, understand that there's some really good stuff there that can still make him a very, very good quarterback. I feel that way about Zach Wilson. I feel that way about Justin Fields. I feel that way about Trevor Lawrence. I still feel that way about Trey Lance. We just haven't seen it yet. So I think there's a lot of good stuff to come from these quarterbacks. And I think he's clearly going to have Mac Jones ranked ahead of all of these guys, because you don't see him on that list yet.
I just appreciate that NBC used the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air font for his top 40 QB countdown font.
It's a fun font.
Yeah, solid font.
I saw a comment from Devin, you know, about that wow factor that Fields has. And I've been going to Chicago Bears training camp since I was a kid, like second grade. So I've seen a lot of quarterbacks, you know, at the NFL level play in person, or at least practice in person. But when we got to training camp last year, Nick and I were sitting in those bleachers together. There were like three or four throws in there, just that one practice where I look at Nick and just go like, is he for real? Like, did he actually make that throw? And same thing in the preseason, during the regular season, sitting in a box, like that wow factor is real. I've seen it. Like those dropping throws is something that he has up his sleeve. And there are times too, like you said, like he made the most of a real bad situation, and there are plays that didn't happen that could have, with a slightly better coaching, receivers adjusting slightly differently to those routes. We always talk about the Komet drop against the 49ers in the red in the end zone. There are other balls down the field where a receiver breaks in, but Justin was looking right, and it looks like Justin was making the right read. So getting everyone on the same page, getting some of this chemistry built up, like, yeah, he's going to be able to tap into a little bit more here this season, and we'll see that on the stat sheet. But like you said, Adam, like the fact that the people who evaluate quarterbacks see the growth or see the potential now with this one haphazard year, that's a really good sign for things to come for Justin.
I think one of the big takeaways from just watching Chris Sims' segment on Justin Fields was the amount of times he said, wow. Every other sentence, wow, he's got the wow factor, wow, wow, whether he's running or passing or whatever he was doing, he was really impressed with Justin Fields, like you guys said, in that situation. But you brought up the name Mac Jones there, Adam. I wonder how much further, though, he's going to be ranked above these guys. Because you've heard from the people who cover the Patriots, they'd rather see a Justin Fields, and his his ceiling compared to what Mac Jones is right now, like how much better is he going to get in year two? You never know, but it just seems like I'm feeling like after Daniel Jones, a couple more slots, you'll see Mac Jones put on that list, and then you'll see what happens in year two, and then we'll reevaluate this list from Chris Sims in a year from now.
Yeah, and I think the criteria for the stuff matters, and it sounds like for Sims, this is a list of, you know, where guys are at right now, you know, a combination of what they've done so far and what their potential still is. And so, yeah, I think Justin Fields is going to be better than Mac Jones in the long term. I think that's the same thing about Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence too, and probably Trey Lance. But also, we got to give Mac Jones credit for what he did last year as a rookie. Absolutely. In fact, one of my smaller gripes that probably no one else cares about is I would have had Davis Mills higher. Davis Mills, he had at 35. I thought Davis Mills last year, I mean.
Over Geno Smith? Like, I'd put him over Geno Smith, Sam Darnold.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota, I'd put him over Mitch.
Mm-hmm. Tua, question mark.
You know, and he's going to be working with Pep Hamilton this year, and that's a pretty good combination. Well, Pep was already there last year, wasn't he?
He was.
He just got promoted.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just don't sleep on Davis Mills. I'm not saying Davis Mills is going to be in the same category of those other guys that got drafted ahead of him. I would give him a little bit more respect in this list. I mean, same thing. Tyler Huntley. he did a good job coming in relief, but like to me, that was a product of the scheme and like a really good ideal backup to have. Davis Mills had put together a pretty damn good season overall.
In a crappy situation in Houston. Very crappy situation.
Yeah.
We know a thing about those.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a fun way to start the show. We got some more coming up here on a little video the Bears put out the other day that we're going to break down a little bit like it's Hard Knocks. The best way to support CHGO, though, is to download the PointsBet app. Use code CHGO when you sign up, and if you do that right now, you'll get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. So that's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free T-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. Any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com. We will help you out. Your home for live in-play betting just got even better because PointsBet has the live NBA same-game parlay. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live NBA same-game parlay only with PointsBet. Boost those parlays too. You can watch live, parlay live, boost live with PointsBet. And online sign up is available now in Illinois. Download the PointsBet app right now. Register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. What are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
I see Tom in the comments here. I think I know the whole PointsBet ad reads by heart now. Yeah. Probably do. We say them every single day. You should know them. And you should know this one too. Chicago sports fans, if you aren't a member of our CHGO family, what are you waiting for at this point? You should be able to recite this one as well. Members will have access to all of our premium content from all of our great writers. You also get a free T-shirt of your choice when you become a member of the CHGO family. And you get access to the members-only Discord, the CHGO Lounge. And, of course, we have podcasts and live shows on every team, every day. So you got to have that bell notification on YouTube. Make sure you're following all the Twitter accounts. Follow our Instagram page as well. And yeah, we're on TikTok too. So make sure you're following that too. But we have all your Chicago sports content. So come join this amazing family that is constantly growing here at CHGO.
All right, guys. The Bears put out another episode of their 1920 football drive series, which is kind of like their own in-house Hard Knocks. Of course,
PG version.
Yeah, it's shot and produced by the team, but they do give you a little bit of a inside look at some of the processes that were going on. You got to see inside the draft room. You got to see some of the scouting work done at the combine, which was interesting. So it doesn't quite go to the level as a Hard Knocks, which is still kind of heavily edited and geared towards not creating too much controversy with the team. But still, there's some interesting stuff in there. And I know you guys want to talk about it. So Nick, what was your biggest takeaway from watching this? It's about a 25-minute episode.
Yeah, 25-minute episode. I think a lot of people were talking about how the Bears did not expect to, you know, at number 39 to have Kyler Gordon there. We got a glimpse that they'd done mock drafts. They simulated who would be there. So at 39, when Kyler Gordon was there, you know, it came, I guess, a little bit as a shock to Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham, that Bears organization. They obviously took him, but Jaquan Brisker was also obviously being their second-round draft pick. Highly regarded for them, but seeing like the insight of when that was unfolding, like, oh man, we're about to get the guy that we didn't think was going to be here based off the simulation that we were doing. So I saw a lot of Bears fans kind of talking about that when they did release this 1920 football drive.
When I watched it, I thought it just re-solidified my gut feeling about the trust factor that I'm having with the organization right now, because that's what they told us immediately after draft. Like, hey, we had Kyler up there. We did these mocks. We didn't think he was going to be there. And he was. Like, that's what Poles told us that same exact night. And we watched it and he wasn't kidding. Like, that's exactly what happened. They talked about it in the room and it was right there for all of us to see. So it's, again, it's that transparency that I'm really respecting right now and appreciating from this Bears organization, from Ryan Poles, from Coach Fluce. The other thing I noticed when it came to that draft pick, I don't know if it was edited, but did it seem like they put that pick in within 1 second? Mm-hmm. It was like, all right, the pick is in. We're on the clock. And Poles like, send it in.
Joniak said in his narration that they sent it in with 7 minutes on the clock.
Okay. Because like how they said it, like on the phone, it was, yeah. Hey, which, their pick is in. We're on.
Which, wait, in the second round, that's how much time you have, right? 7 minutes?
Is it that or isn't that in the third?
I think it goes down to...
It does, because the first round's now 10, right?
Yeah, so I thought it went down a little bit in the second round.
Yeah, it was 7 minutes in the second round.
Yeah, see, they must like, immediately. Yeah. That was fun to see. Like, the conviction, like, we've heard that word, but I saw it in action here for the first time, where it's, hey, we're on the clock. He didn't second guess it. He didn't sit there wondering what we need to do. Should we wait for a trade offer? He had someone, and Kyler Gordon, who was top of their list when the second round started, he was there. And then it took him 0 seconds to make that decision. Like, that man knew exactly what he wanted, and I respect the hell out of it.
Well, and another thing, too, because that I think applied to the Jaquan Brisker picked as well, which I'll mention in a second. But going back to the mock draft, so that's for those that haven't watched this yet, it's a comment from Ian Cunningham on the episode where he actually turns to Ryan in the moment, like, as they're making the pick, basically, and saying, like, dude, we – kept mocking that and we didn't believe that it would happen. That's something I had heard shortly after the draft, actually, guys, that not only did that happen, but where their mock draft simulations would like lead to Kyler Gordon, but they didn't believe it to the point that they were actually like basically throwing those ones out.
Right.
Cause they were like, you know, like when you and I, or any of us would run like one of those mock simulators and be like, there's no way that's possible. Like, come on, like, let's have some common sense here. We're not going to, you know, go to that extreme. Like, they kind of live that in real life with Kyler Gordon, it seems like. So then they got him. And then here's a question I want to ask you guys, because I was a little confused actually with like the sequencing of some of the editing, but didn't it seem like they're like, yeah, we'll take Kyler Gordon, and then we'll take Jaquan Brisker with our next pick. Even though there was
many
picks between, like, because there was, what, another 9 picks, right?
Right.
How did they, they were just saying that's our plan? Like, that kind of confused me.
To me, it sounded like when the second round started, they listed their top two guys that they would feel most comfortable at 39, and it was Gordon and then Brisker.
And oh, then that's Gordon. What it was. Yeah.
And then Brisker was there, you know, later on, and they're like, really? Like, and I think they told us that too that same night. I think they said they were top two on their board. They thought no way in hell Gordon was going to be there, and he was. And then when they're on the clock, 10 picks later, they thought, no way Brisker's going to still be on the board. And he was. And they're like, oh, my God, like we got our top two choices. And I am fairly confident that's what they told us as soon as that second night was over and Nick was at Halas Hall. I really think that's what Nick was relaying to us on that show.
And that's actually a very important point, Will, because every single general manager got to their podium in the press conference and they said they drafted the guy that they wanted the whole time. Okay, and they all say that. No one gets up there and goes, yeah, you know, he was like our fifth choice. And, you know, the teams traded up ahead of us and took our guy. We're sitting here all pissed off. No one says that. No, but that does happen. So for that's why I think what you're getting at, Will, a little bit is like when the GM comes out and says that on draft night, you're like, okay, maybe. But you don't really know where it was. It really your top guy. So to see this play out in real time in the video, in the episode, where I think you're right. Now that you say that, well, I think you're right. That was probably a shot from before they actually put the picks in, where they're saying, all right, we'll take Kyler Gordon, and then Jaquan Brisker would be our like our backup option.
Mm-hmm.
And then it plays out where they actually ended up getting both picks. Like that's pretty good proof that that's actually how they felt. And what if that's really the case, I guess, regardless of how these careers play out, that's a heck of a first draft night for Ryan Poles as a first-time GM.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's a good segue because at the end of that video, we see Matt Eberflus congratulate Ryan Poles on the draft that he, you know, being his first draft with the Bears, and he gives him a little gift. And this was like a big on Bears Twitter. What is it? There we go. There's a picture. Yeah. What is that, you guys?
So, I thought it was Woodford Reserve at first glance. I'm fairly confident it's bourbon. I think the bottle's not flat and wide enough, though, to be Woodford.
Okay.
The more I look at it, I don't think it's Woodford Reserve, but I do think it's some type of bourbon.
Here we go. Like Jeff from Windy City Gridiron, he quoted me in the tweet, and there's been a long Twitter thread of potential. Okay. We have Elijah Craig. If anyone's familiar, it could maybe that be it. You mentioned that one. There's also Jefferson's Ocean. I know that Will, that's before we went live. That's the one he's thinking. Let's see. Jefferson's Aged at Sea. Another one there. But yeah, I think we're going to have to just ask him. Adam, when we're at Halas Hall next time, like, what'd you give Ryan Poles? It's got to be expensive, though.
I think it's a Jefferson's, like Drew said. There's a screenshot or like a still, or at least when I was rewatching it again today, that wasn't what we just shared. It shows a side label, and one of Jefferson's has a side label that looks very similar. So I'm going to go off of that context clue. I know this is very important. Like, we must know what the victory drink of choice is inside of this building, because obviously it's a winning formula, or at least it seems like it.
There you go.
Well, first of all, I just, regardless of what it is, I have a lot of respect for Matt Eberflus. That's the gift. Cause I'm at least going with that as bourbon, which is right up my alley. So since we're so close to the finish line here and our last day of school is the theme today, you know, like I got some ready. You know, we got the big boy here.
There you go.
This is what we make old fashions with in the whole Hogue household. Then we go straight to the makers. But then if we're just, you know, sipping on it, we got the High West. Anything High West, if you've ever had High West, is it's awesome. It's out of Park City, Utah. They make a campfire whiskey. It's like, for those that might like peaty or smoky whiskeys, it's it actually tastes like you're drinking a campfire. It's almost a little bit too much. And then this one I just bought yesterday at Costco. I had it last night. Noble Oak. I think it's out of Ohio. Definitely oaky. I liked it.
Very nice.
What about you, Will? What's like your go-to? Or
Maker's Mark would be, if I'm going this route. Honestly, though, like since the wife was pregnant last year and we, you know, decided like if she's not drinking, I'm not drinking. I've been kind of slow at getting back into it, which not a bad thing. With a baby around, but yeah, if I'm going like with bourbon, Maker's Mark is like definitely where I lean, just because it's readily available, it's good, and it's not overly expensive for, you know, like my budget, right now. Maybe one day I'll have a Hogue budget, but I'm working my way towards it.
The Hogue budget.
I still buy it at Costco. Right. Yeah.
I don't have a Costco.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
There's no Costco. Indiana.
Indianapolis, I think, would be my closest Costco, but that's, I'm not driving an hour to go to Costco.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you for that. There's like a Sam's.
I mean, you're going to drive 5 hours to get some ribs.
That's true. But true. Priorities, man. Priorities. 5 hours from some ribs on the Weber, which I have the same little Weber that Hogue has too. Like, I don't have to do work. I'll handle the drive. We can just stay up there for vacation at that rate. But no, it's we do have a Sam's Club. I just haven't became a member. I don't need to buy that much in bulk yet. Once my kids get a little older, maybe. But right now, just a baby and a 9-year-old, not so much.
Yeah. Well, I'm still surprised by that, though. It is a college town.
We got Walmart, Target, Kmart closed. Okay. That's about it. Sam's Club. There's a Rule King, if you want, if that's your thing.
How about a Zayre? Is there a Zayre? Anyone remember Zayre?
What the hell that is?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I'm the old guy.
Are you, Venture? Are you dating
yourself?
You guys
yourself? Remember these things? Oh, I'm definitely dating myself. Venture, Zayre, Service Merchandise. No? None of these? Okay, I'll stop.
No. Nope. Sears, Macy's. Nope. What other dead box stores do you want to name?
Yeah, true. I've actually been on like a little tequila craze. I don't know why, just a bunch of margaritas. It's getting close to summertime, so
you were making a margarita right before the show.
I didn't get all the ingredients set, but I
had a blender going and or like the top of it, and I was like, "What are you making a margarita right before the show?"
I should have. That would have been fitting for you know, the last day of school kind of theme that we got going on here. But afterwards, tequila time.
Tequila time is a good song. All right. The other thing that stood out to me from the 1920 football drive show was just they kind of focused on Justin Jones as like their sort of featured player and his arrival at House Hall on the first day of the offseason program. Thought that was interesting, but you could tell that he was excited to be there. Like since this is the last day of school, that was like the first day of school for him. And a lot of people aren't excited to be there on the first day of school. Some people are. And he definitely was like excited and juiced up to get there on the first day.
And it felt like an orientation. You walk in, you get assigned your iPad or your Windows Surface, whatever the device of choice is with inside the Bears organization. And then you go to all these different rooms and you get, you know, whether it's a physical check or your equipment checked out, it felt very much like a first day at school orientation type of vibe. But yeah, you're right, Adam. Like the fact that he was heavily featured, more so than, I mean, Pringle wasn't featured really at all, which I would assume would have been the bigger one to kind of feature. Maybe they're trying to really push him in hopes that, you know, we forget about Larry Ogunjobi falling through. I don't know. It just was a surprise to me, too.
A lot of the guys, too, that they signed from that free agent class, like the 2 years, $12 million, like that's the guy that, you know, needs to really be a big focal point for this Bears defense as a three tech. But like you were saying, Adam, just he seemed really excited to be in this Bears organization to really get to know his teammates and see how they operate and see what they can accomplish together. I think he described like it's a football team is like a well-oiled machine. You do everything together. You can get some good results out of it. So we'll have to wait and see what Justin Jones can actually bring to this Bears team. But, you know, 2 years, $12 million, the contract, they want to show him a little bit more just to show he's a big piece.
I enjoyed just kind of seeing him. And because I feel like, and look, you're probably right. A lot of that, just them choosing him is probably like, hey, here's the guy that, try to get excited about the guy that's not Larry Ogunjobi. But, you know, I also feel like we are sleeping on him a little bit because he's not Larry Ogunjobi. And he still falls under the category, like a lot of these guys, like Byron Pringle or Equamania St. Brown, of players that have either been underutilized or, I think more in Jones's case, he's just had some injuries that have held him back. And, like, there's just everyone's – they're hoping for untapped potential. Stay healthy, and he could be that guy. I'm a little bit more skeptical, I think, with Justin Jones, because if they were that excited about it, why wouldn't they have just signed him first? But, you know, I still found that part interesting.
Yeah, I did too. And like you said, hopefully we are sleeping on him. That would be best case scenario for all of us here. And I'm someone that I do like to keep expectations lower for people so they can exceed them. Something else that stood out would be like the whole event with Justin at the Blackhawks game. Like, I know we saw some of that already, but to kind of see more of it was exciting, whether it be the personality coming out of Tevin Jenkins, which he's been very much, you know, hidden away ever since he's been drafted by the Bears. So to see him kind of making jokes, cracking it in the elevator was a lot of fun. Larry Borum was a little bit more quiet spoken and, you know, timid than I would expect him to be as well. So they're kind of polar opposites for being camaraderies in the same draft class at the same position. So that was interesting. Just him hanging out with his teammates at the game. And now I know who I would not send out for a shootout if I was ever coaching a hockey team and there's a tie. I don't know if Justin's my guy.
That's tough. I've never done it before, but that doesn't look easy from the distance that they're doing it from. Like, yeah, I wouldn't be any better.
No, I don't think I've ever done it with that board that they put out there. Mm-mm. I did do it. When I worked for WGN Radio, we had an opportunity to have like a holiday party out on the United Center ice, which was fun. And like the Blackhawks hooked us all up with hockey sticks and stuff. So you can, you know, wide open net. I think we were trying some shots. I think Mark Carman was there. We were trying some shots from, you know, from center ice. And I think maybe made one or two, but you put that thing on there and you have to get through the three slots. Like, that looks impossible.
I was at a Blackhawks game where they had a mother and a son kind of do it. None of them got into the slot there, but because the son was like so close, they're like, all right, you get a paid vacation for a week just for one of them. So I guess they want to go. They have to pay for the other person, but got that close. Sometimes it pays to, you know, almost be there.
Sorry. I just, you know, when your brain goes faster than your filter sometime, I'm glad I caught it. So when you said you and Carmen are out there doing like half rink shots, I was thinking of like Happy Gilmore with the Endless Love Song.
Oh,
and the lights
are
off. Like, oh, I didn't. Oh no, I missed. And Mark's like, oh, I didn't see it miss. Like, I thought it went in. And then you guys embrace. Like, that's where my mind went immediately. I'm like, calm down, Will. But it's a good movie.
No, that's awesome. Kids. I mean, I'm not going to confirm or deny that was the case. There may have been a guy on the Zamboni. You know.
Yep. Playing music. That guy was creepy. But that was one of the movies I would rent on pay-per-view all the time. I was an Adam Sandler, would it be Stan? Is that the correct way to say things now? But like, as I was a kid, I don't know, but I would rent all of his movies on pay-per-view, and they would send t-shirts of the movies in with the bill. And my stepdad would be pissed because it was like a $200 bill, but at least he got a free t-shirt. Oh, I have a Waterboy one from it. Cause I would just over and over again, even if it was 5 minutes left, I'd order it. I didn't know it cost money.
Because we're talking about Adam Sandler real quick, you guys. I know Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football, they ranked what was better, Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore in terms of his movies. I believe Kyle Brandt went with Happy Gilmore. Just curious as to your thoughts. If you had to rank him between those two, or is there another? Yeah, Will's
he just disappeared into the green screen.
Just he like ran, he did earlier.
He ran through the green screen.
There he goes.
All right. So we got from Big Daddy, Scuba Sam.
Okay.
Scuba Steve.
Yeah, but Steve. No, Scuba Sam is when he dresses up as Scuba Sam to talk about his son, Scuba Steve, to the boy in the bathtub. Because he dresses up in full nine. Okay. We got Bobby Boucher.
Okay. Yep. I didn't know this was going to be, this is great.
Funko Pop Hour with Will. And then we got, creepy. Yeah, so we got Bob Barker here, and he's going to punch the daylights out of Happy.
That was a great little nugget to put in there to answer Nick's question, because that scene is why I go Happy Gilmore over Billy Madison, because as good as Billy Madison is, it's a great movie, I don't think that there is a scene that is as good as the Bob Barker Happy Gilmore scene. It's just so good.
The price was wrong.
But what about Uncut Gems?
You know what? I didn't hate that movie.
Yeah,
Uncut Gems was amazing. It was just like insanity from the moment it started with something.
Yeah, that movie doesn't stop.
Oh, yeah. No. Just intense, like the whole time. Have you seen the trailer for Hustler, his new one?
No. Is it like Uncut Gems?
No, he's a... like an NBA scout, like a down in his luck NBA scout, and he goes to Europe to find some random dude. And a bunch of like actual NBA people are in it.
He loves basketball. Like, yes, that's gonna be a good movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watch that. Yeah.
And I am with Nunu, Uncut Gems, the number one Adam Sandler movie. I agree.
Okay, but you didn't answer the question. Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore?
Oh. Probably Happy, just for Carl Weathers.
Damn it, my brain today. Now I'm thinking of you asking the question, and if he's correct, then you're taking your shirt off on the show, Adam. Like Happy, just like Billy Madison. That is correct, Chris Farley.
Well, I like the part in Billy Madison where I think he's in, is he in third grade at the time? He's like, don't ever leave, or like he's like shaking the kid's face, and it's just, you can see it all jiggle. Like every time I see that, I am just, I die of laughter. He's like, don't you ever leave. It's amazing. Love that
Wedding
part.
Singer. Wedding Singer is actually right up there for me. I love that movie.
See, Wedding Singer and, I mean, they're all good to me in Waterboy, but
your name's going to be Julia Guglia.
But I don't know. Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison to me are on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
They just are. Yeah.
Sure. All right.
Adam Sandler, if you ever want to join the show to talk anything, please let us know. I would love to be here for it.
When is our Adam Sandler movie draft? I can't wait for that one.
Ooh, we should do that. I would do it.
That's a good summer content right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
I would do it.
I like that.
Hey, if you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us continue to grow is to download the PointsBet app. Use code CHGO when you sign up. Not only are you going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. And you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. Any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com and Adam Sandler will respond to you personally. And if, in case you missed it, online signup is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now. Register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sports book, easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. What are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I'm going to have to bring up like Adam Sandler's movies now and like pick out a Uncut Gem.
Mm-hmm.
Be cut, yeah. But you know what I was getting at there.
We get you. We get you.
Do we?
I see people in the comments just putting in different lines from, was it Billy Madison when he's in the bathtub? Shampoo is better. No conditioner is better. If you pee your pants, peeing your pants at school.
All the cool kids are doing it.
And I'm Miles Davis.
All right. Hey, last thing I wanted to do, and I will still come up with that underrated Adam Sandler movie. Springing this on you guys, kind of as the last day of school. I don't know.
Cool.
I'm gonna throw a bold prediction at you, as I can dodge it now. Just turn off. We can turn this off, and then I don't have to talk about it for a week. So then people will forget about it. The more and more I think about it, I am buying into this wide zone running scheme that the Bears are pushing, and I think David Montgomery is gonna have a big year, and. Do you guys know what his top rushing yards are in his career so far in a season?
No.
It is. He got over 1,000 one time. It was 1,070 yards back in 2020 in just 15 games. 247 rushes. I am going to say that he goes over 1,200 rushing yards this season. That actually should be possible when you think about how the Bears never committed to the run.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think they're going to. And I'm willing to say 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns for David Montgomery. His career high is 8. He had 6 as a rookie, 8 in 2020, 7 in 2021.
Okay. I like that, Adam. Looking at, so he got that in 2020 when there were now there's an extra game to do so, mm-hmm. right? And if he can stay healthy, there is a commitment to run the football. No doubt about it with this coaching staff. You can see it with adding a fullback, seeing what is going to be asked of Cole Kmet. And I think this is going to help out Justin Fields if they can actually run the ball. I just wonder how involved a Khalil Herbert's going to be this year compared to his rookie season. That's the only way I don't see David Montgomery getting maybe those stats at by the end of the year, but there's definitely going to be more opportunities. And with this scheme, he's definitely capable of it. So I don't think it's that crazy. So you don't have to go away and go on vacation and hide from it. Like, I think that's not that crazy to think of.
It's not. In terms of his role, as much as I think they're open to all the possibilities out there in terms of divvying up the workload, like if he becomes dominant, like they're not going to take him off the field. He is in a contract year. He's going to be playing at a higher, at level that we've ever seen. I'm assuming just in order to make his best case for a decent payday after this season, and with how NFL running backs and their lifespans, like this is the time for Monty to go make his money. And then, like you said, like this scheme should better suit him. If the Bears have a legitimate passing threat as well, that should lighten up some of these boxes for him, which will help too. And each and every year, guys, if you look at the yards, after contact on average, he's up there in the NFL every single time. The issue is he's being contacted in the backfield every time he's touching the football. Yeah. So if he has a little bit more wiggle room, he can get a little bit of head steam behind him and gain some positive yards before the defense is able to touch him. And he's able to fight through that first contact there and then get those additional yards, then that average will go up and he can have more than, 4.3 that 2019, 2020 season, whatever the year's
called. Yeah, it was. It was 4.3.
Yeah, so he can average a little bit more than that without question. I don't think it's outlandish at all, Adam. That's a fun one. And now I'm excited to watch Monty eat come this season.
There you go. All right. We should have mentioned Big Daddy before, obviously.
I've written it down. Uh-oh. I've written it down. So it's on.
Oh, there it is. It's on a note card.
Yeah, I know it's on a podcast too that we could go to YouTube and watch. But it's
where does that right go now? Where?
I don't know. I mean, I know this is like an Ernie Johnson thing. Apparently, he does this. He post-it notes him at the.
I was gonna say NC you need to bring that into the studio, and we gotta hang him somewhere.
Smells good, fresh Sharpie.
That'd be fun. Love it. Nice handwriting, by the way. Good.
I was gonna say I like your handwriting.
I'm not messing around.
Oh. Mine's chicken scratch. It would have been like
mine is squiggles and
squints.
Squints. My signature.
Sandlot. Good movie.
There you go. Okay. Should have mentioned Big Daddy earlier.
Yeah.
Which is basically my son and I in New York City last weekend. We scuba Steve and Sam and Bob and all those scubas.
Those scubas.
Mr. Deeds was like one of the underrated ones I was going
to
bring up.
When he whacked the butler's foot with the fire pick.
And then I'm going to give you one that's a little bit more controversial because I think this is one I would describe.
Oh, God. You're going to say 50 first dates, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm going a little bit newer. And
with Kevin James. Oh, don't say it.
This is going to be one that I think I'm probably going to admit is not a good movie, but I still enjoyed it. Is that fair to say?
Is it the Halloween movie?
No, it's the murder mystery Netflix movie he did with Jennifer Aniston. Did you guys see that? I don't even know how many people watched it. It wasn't bad. I turned that on going, this is going to be awful. And I actually enjoyed it.
I'll have to check it out now. I mean, I haven't seen it. I haven't had a want to see it, but maybe
they
I'll
go
check it
overseas
out
and deal with some mystery murder.
What about Click? What about
God? Stop it! Just stop
no.
It.
Like it gets like when I was younger, no. I used to watch
anything
like,
him and Kevin James. It's just a money grab, garbage. Don't ever watch that stuff. Don't give it to him.
you gotta have respect for Adam Sandler. That this is many years later, 2019, he's doing a movie where Jennifer Aniston's his wife. I mean,
no, he's got the life. He just walks around in those long ass shorts. And a t-shirt, baggy, oversized t-shirt. And he hoops every day. And he I think he lives in Miami or in Maui or somewhere in Hawaii, right? I mean, he's just living a life.
If I see him after all this, like, we'll have to show him this.
You better
like,
get him on the pod.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes, Yeah, you'll have to actually get him on the pod immediately. Like, just call in, I'll get you a link.
Jesse's throwing out Hotel Transylvania, which for a kid's series, the first one ain't bad. The second one's okay. The third one, eh. But Hotel Transylvania for a kid's movie ain't bad. Hey, what was that one? Eight Crazy Nights?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a, okay.
That's another interesting. What? That's a technical foul. Come on, like it's catchy.
Did you know he was on the Cosby Show?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Was he the kid on his knee? No.
No. It's a kid. Couple episodes in '87 and a couple in '88.
Yep.
Smitty.
Okay.
Nunu asked about Grown Ups. There was a summer, you guys, where Grown Ups was on literally every single day. And that's why, like, I mean, it's not that great of a movie, but it was like you turn on TBS or whatever, and Grown Ups was on. It was always the same scene, too. You know, like, am I in like a constant loop? What's going on here?
You're in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I ever watched Grown Ups. It's really? Crazy.
It sounds so much.
I'm looking at the trailer right now. I don't think I ever watched it.
It's the answer is Uncut Gems, Wedding Singer, and then we'll go with I'm already just blanking on the golf movie.
Billy Madison.
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
I'm sorry, my brain is broken.
I'm with you on Uncut Gems. I can't put them ahead of like the legendary comedy movies of the 90s, though. I mean, that's the sweet spot.
He did. I liked it growing up, The Longest Yard, that remake. That was fun. I mean, it's the same movie as the one they made in like the 80s, but it was. And then I found out about the original and watched that, and I enjoyed it too. But that's like way back in the day. So going to like the movie store, like a Blockbuster, which I found my Blockbuster card the other day, by the way.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's, what are you going to do with it?
I think I'm going to, I put it back in a tote with all my like life collectibles because one day, like, it's only going to get weirder to see.
Oh yeah, it's kind of like my USFL pennants, right?
Yeah,
true. Someone's gonna bring back Blockbuster somehow.
I do feel like I have a Blockbuster card around here somewhere in our house. Like I think my wife gave it to our daughter as like just something to like use as a card.
There you go.
See where this gets you. I think I once got into a bar with a Blockbuster card.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, guys, I gotta go check on my ribs.
Oh,
sounds good.
So
I got to get in the car and head up. Head up your way.
What's the address? We're heading over.
I'll save some of this for you too if you come by.
I don't want the Costco stuff. Give me the
drive to Vernon Hills.
I
bought at Costco. It's not Costco.
Sure, I saw a Kirkland brand on there. I saw.
Don't
it.
Sleep on Kirkland brand.
No,
liquor,
I know.
By the way,
Kirkland brand is good. Yeah,
they're
like the same thing, right? Like the vodkas, Tito's, and
Nick. Their tequila, the Kirkland tequila, is like
yes,
legitimately some of the best tequila I've had.
I've definitely had it before. I like it. It's good stuff.
All right, guys. I'm out of here. I don't know about you guys. I'm leaving. I'm going to go check out my ribs. Enjoy Memorial Day weekend. Nice shirt, Lawrence. That's the sweetness shirt. Will, enjoy your week off, too. Appreciate it.
Yeah, week and a half. So I'll see y'all June 12th.
Whew, man.
Good take.
Oh, I am jealous.
You sprung that one
here.
On me.
I'll be here.
Enjoy Hawaii. That sounds amazing.
Thank you.
Nick, you got any teasers for next week you want to share?
I think there's teasers all week long. You just got to tune in, you guys. That's all I'm going to say. Tune in each and every day.
Could
be something new every day.
You don't want to just tease like a clue or anything? You probably can't. You'll just do that on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll do it on Twitter. You'll just have to tune in like, oh, there's a new – okay. So it'll be a surprise each and every day.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're off Monday for Memorial Day. Hope everybody enjoys the weekend. There will be a special episode dropping, though, over the weekend. I think on Sunday, where Nick and I talked about our favorite Bears memories growing up.
Thanks,
so you can
guys.
Check that out. Audio only. And then Nick's back Tuesday with a surprise guest. We'll find out who it is. 1 o'clock Tuesday. Talk to you then.
All right, y'all. See you later.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.